Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to our telephone town hall meeting. We really appreciate all the members joining the call tonight. We're going to be on for about the next 30 minutes or so. We are here. We have an agenda to talk about, of course, but we want you to ask us some questions. If you have a question, it'd be great if you did press zero. That's zero on the keypad on your phone. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to our telephone town hall meeting. I'm going to be bringing on Mike in just a minute, but we want more members to get on the call if they could. So give me a couple minutes to repeat this a couple more times, and I'll introduce Mike Easley right after that. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to our telephone town hall meeting. We really appreciate you joining us tonight. These calls work really well if you ask us some questions, and you can do that by pressing zero. That's zero on the keypad on your phone, and press seven on the keypad on your phone if we don't have your email address. Now, if we have it, don't bother, but if we're missing it and you're not getting emails from us from time to time, then press seven and give us that email address. So one more time, welcome everybody, welcome to our telephone town hall meeting. Please press 00 on the keypad on your phone if you want to ask us a question, 0 if you have a question. Mike, why don't you start off, and if you could integrate into your opening remarks for people to press 0 to ask questions, that would be great. We have some people taking us up on it, but we want more. So Mike, take it away. Go ahead, please.
Okay, thanks a lot, Kurt. Hello, everybody. Good evening, and it's a honor and a privilege to be invited to speak with you tonight, and I sure appreciate your interest in what's going on here at the co-op, and would encourage you to, if you have any questions during my remarks or whatever, just press zero, and the folks there that are helping you will help get you queued up to ask that question. I'm going to start off this evening with just a quick summary on some of the things that are facing Precorp, so you'll have a good high-level update on a few things, and then we'll open it up for questions after that, and I think it'll be a great conversation. Look forward to hearing from you. First thing I want to talk about is try to hit on some good news. Just very recently, the federal government announced that they would not designate the greater sage grouse as an endangered species. That was a big thing for us and a big thing for the West. It was had that bird been listed, it would have created significant impacts on our energy industry and our agricultural practices as well. So that's pretty good news. Precorp continues to have a plan in place that we've actually had for several years to help us be part of the solution of managing the sage grouse, and we're very pleased to be able to be active in that. Also, you've heard me talk in the past, and also at our annual meeting, we've been working for a year or so on helping provide power supply options to two Montana cooperatives, and just this past month, the Precorp board and the Fergus in Lewistown and the Tongue River in Ashland, those boards all voted to join Precorp for wholesale power supply. So the contracts are signed and approved, but we will not begin actually selling power until 2017 when their existing power supply contracts run out. So it's a great benefit for us. It's a great benefit for them. It gives us increased sales, which is good. It also provides some increased economies of scope and helps us, I think, make sure that we can continue to provide you with a high level of services that we've had in the past. Another good item. Just a couple weeks ago, the governor announced the integrated test center that has been planned for Wyoming since conceived in 2013 and worked on all last year. This is going to be a center that will be installed at the Dry Fork Station. It will be a facility where folks can come in and take a small portion of flue gas from the Dry Fork Station and work on that flue gas to prove up carbon CO2 capture technologies or CO2 utilization technologies in a way to help us maybe provide a little hope and optimism as it relates to coal-fired generation. The facility is going to host the Carbon X Prize, which will be a competition that will actually run for about a year and a half at the site. It will be a global competition where scientists and innovators come in and try to reach breakthroughs in ways to transform CO2 from a liability into an asset. It's a pretty exciting thing for Wyoming. It shows the foresight of our governor. Not only is the state looking at the EPA regulations and trying to find legal remedy to some of the issues that we have with the Clean Power Plan, but at the same time they're being proactive and forward-looking and trying to leverage technology to perhaps help us provide CO2 for enhanced oil recovery, as well as a long-term solution to CO2 and the flue gas. So that's a good thing. At the annual meeting, if you remember, I was talking about some financial risk that we have been seeing due to some business disruptions in the energy industry. We've had a coal mine go bankrupt. Alpha Resources went bankrupt. And we had a very large CBM customer cease doing business. And as a result of that, we had nearly $1.7 million in losses. We applied for a change to our security deposit policy for these large customers. And just yesterday, the Public Service Commission approved our new language, which is positioning us to help manage our financial risk due to some of these large loads. And we've already had one of our larger customers step up and provide us with a security deposit, which certainly helps us in the future if some of these financial headwinds continue to push back on these companies and create a real uncertain environment. On the not-so-good news aspect, we are expecting in 2016 our wholesale power costs are going to be increasing by about $11.5 million, roughly a little over 7%. And typically our wholesale power cost is just passed on through this thing we call a cost of power adjustment, or COPA. You'll see that on your power bill. We're expecting that our typical residential customer who uses about 1,000 kilowatt hours a month would see roughly $3.50 increase per month due to the increased power costs. And those costs are really driven by things that Basin has been doing to prepare for the future. There's some new generation that they've had to add. There's been environmental controls that they've put on, and some additions to the transmission network to keep our power flowing reliably. The good news is when we look at the forecast over the next several years, this increase is going to probably be the largest, maybe a smaller one next year, much smaller, and then probably 2 years of relatively stable wholesale power costs. So those are good things. Precorp continues to see lots of challenges financially. Our budget, we're actually going to be in a committee meeting with our board of directors tomorrow. Our projected budget for end of year 2015 shows a $5.6 million operating loss, mostly attributed to just declining sales and sort of just the normal increased expenses. Our budget we're going to be looking at for 2016 is a $6.8 million loss. And after these 2 years of back-to-back losses, we are looking at a rate increase that we will probably put into effect in 2017. So I know I'm talking about something that's going to happen a year out, a little over a year out, but I wanted to give folks a heads up that was coming. We expect that rate increase could also impact your power bill, $5 to $7 a month. If you have any questions, don't forget you can dial 0 to ask a question, and we are more than happy to begin taking those questions here in just a minute. But one of the things I did want to also remind you of is we routinely do a customer satisfaction surveys, and you may be receiving phone calls from folks on our behalf from Touchstone Energy Services who will ask you a few questions about our performance and how satisfied you are with the services that you receive here at Powder River Energy.
Let me jump in for a second. This would be a great time to take a question. Yeah, I want to just jump in if I can. Paul, if you're going to give us some sort of report or comment on the foundation operating roundup, if you're doing that and you've called in on the toll-free line, please press zero. Press zero right now, Paul. Zero on the keypad on your phone so we can get you through. So, and anybody else that wants to ask a question, press zero, zero on the keypad on your phone. Well, we were trying to get Paul through if we possibly can so he can give us that report. And we will get to questions in just a second. Again, one more time, if you do have a question, please press zero, especially Paul, if you would, please. And just send Paul right through if he's the one with the report screeners. Thank you. While we're waiting for Paul, we're going to take Dave with a live question. Dave, welcome to our telephone town hall meeting. Where are you from, and what's your question, please?
Hi, yeah, my name's Dave. I'm here in Banner, Wyoming. And your summary just now sounded pretty bleak. So my question is, what's your opposition to renewables and decentralizing the power grid? I look at constant increases in our service fee, and it looks pretty bleak. And it makes me think, well, why not just put in some solar or wind energy, and why what's the opposition to getting on board with something like that?
Well, I guess I would say that there really, from our perspective, there is an opposition to solar or wind power within our wholesale power supply. We have our power supplier has about 1,000 megawatts of wind generation that we sell, and actually if Precorp members are interested in supporting wind power, and I don't know, Dave, if you do this or not, but you can buy renewable energy credits, which is a way, even though you may not be connected to a wind resource, it's a recognized way in the industry to support renewables. So we have that available. We also have a net metering program where customers can install wind or solar, and they can have those systems generate into the system. And at the end of the year, whatever power they've generated that's in excess of what they've used is purchased at a rate that we have filed with the commission. And that's stuff that we have currently on in our system, and so we certainly support that. A lot of utilities have resisted these large influxes of solar power for a couple of reasons. First of all, their fixed cost that they have every month is not really representative of true fixed costs, and so what happens is the large solar developments come in, and they are not paying their fair share of the embedded utility costs. And from Precorp's perspective, the way we design our rates several years ago, we made sure that we were not going to be adversely impacted if somebody wanted to put on a solar or wind generator and his neighbor didn't. His neighbor wouldn't be subsidizing that person's cost to put that onto our system. So I think from a rate perspective, we're ready for that. We've been doing it for quite some time through supporting renewables through our what we call a renewable energy or WyoRex is one of the names that we actually have in Wyoming, and we sell those renewable energy credits to our members, and we also have marketed them statewide, and we sell some to a data center in Cheyenne. The idea of coming off grid and not being part of the grid is, from a perspective of individuals' decisions, that's certainly something that people can do, and I think there are probably people out there that aren't tied to the grid. What the grid does give you is whenever you want the power, it's there. That scenario may vary depending on if you're disconnected from the grid and you're based on a renewable, If you're wind or solar, obviously you have to have the sun or wind or some amount of battery storage to provide the power needs when those things aren't generating. The clean power plan that was just released really does create a scenario where we will see a much higher percentage of renewables that come into the grid. And nobody knows right now for certain how much percentage of renewables can be tied into the grid and keep the grid reliably operating. Previous to here, I was in a small co-op in Alaska where we weren't tied into a grid, and we had our own generation hydro plant and diesel plants. And I can tell you that when you don't have the stability of the big grid and big machines, a lot of times some of your larger users have difficulty in getting the power that they need, which is something that from Precorp's perspective, the renewable energy and that we would see would really be focused on the residential and maybe small commercial type buildings, the kind of power that an oil field would use or a coal mine use. The best option for those folks, if they have an appetite for renewables, is to buy the renewable energy credits.
Mike, we have Paul on the line. Would you like to introduce Paul, please?
Sure. Hey, Paul, are you there?
This is Paul Westner. I'm with Hometown Veterans in Gillette, Wyoming.
Hi, Paul. This is Mike.
Hi.
Glad you could join us.
Well, I've been listening to this, having come from the power industry. It's all very interesting to me. So thank you very much for letting me come in. Did you want me to talk about Hometown Veterans?
Yeah, if you could just give us a little little backstory on Hometown Veterans and how they've been impacted by some of the programs that we work on here at Precorp, it'd be great.
I'd be glad to. Hometown Veterans, what it is a group in Gillette. We pretty well work with all of our veterans around here. It originally started as a breakfast at the senior center, and after receiving some money from the Durham Ranch, we started to help veterans in our community, and then Powder River Energy gave us another donation, or a couple of donations, to help us again. So we have expanded our helping of veterans in our community. Let me give you a little bit of an idea of how we're helping our veterans. And this is not a group that is seeking remuneration or salaries for doing this. This is all vets servicing vets. So 100% of the money that we get in goes directly to our veterans. The first thing I'd like to talk, we've done some housing. We, as you realize, there are a lot of veterans out there that don't have housing, and what we work through about three groups to help with housing for these veterans. Sometimes we have to pay for some monthly fee, pay to get them into a residence. So this is an upfront fee for this.
Yeah, that's a great project, Paul. And but just wanted to make sure that folks knew that the program that you're talking about was the Operation Roundup program.
Yeah.
That Precorp uses to. It's a program where Precorp members can volunteer to be part of that program, and it is actually run by the Precorp Powder River Energy Foundation, which is independent directors across our system. And the focus of that foundation is to lend a helping hand to folks in Northeast Wyoming, much like the group that you've described. And I appreciate you coming on and having a conversation and sharing some of the good work that the Veterans Group is doing. Precorp members through the Operation Roundup donation, I'm sure are very pleased to see that some of the funds are going local and to such worthy causes. So thanks a lot, Paul.
Well, thank you.
Let's do a survey question that is involving this, and it goes like this: concerning Operation Roundup that Paul was talking about, if you'd like to sign up, or in other words, volunteer, please press 1. If you'd just like some more information about it, please press 2. So if you'd like to sign up for the program, you'll get some information with it, please press 1. If you want to, if you just want some more information about it, please press 2. So 1 for sign up, 2 for more information. We appreciate your participation. While you're doing that, we had a couple questions come in earlier, and it looks like a couple people had to hang up. So Scott had a question. What is the percentage of pre-course power is generated by wind?
So I would say that it's, if you look at it two different ways, the wind generation that's in the basin portfolio, we buy our power from a co-op that we're a part owner of, and the total wind percentage is about 14.5%. So that's a fairly a fairly big number. And we're over the years, Basin has been investing in wind generation for, I don't know, at least 10 years or so. And most of the wind generation that Basin has is located in North Dakota and some in South Dakota. It's very high quality, a very high quality wind resource.
Again, last call for this. If you'd like to ask a question, please press 0. 0 on the keypad on your phone now. We're not long for this call, so if you got a question you'd like to squeeze in, now's the time to do it. Press 0 on the keypad on your phone. This other question came in from Jason. They use compressed CO2 and BB guns. Why can't we compress it and sell it ourselves?
Well, the first trick is coming out of the power plant is the flue gas is, it has CO2 in it, but it also has just, regular nitrogen and just other atmospheric gases. So the idea is to capture that CO2 out of the flue gas stream. And the short-term goal for Wyoming is to use that CO2 for injection underground to stimulate some of the oil fields that we have that may be not producing as much. And so by doing that, you're able to, show a beneficial use of that CO2 from the power plant, which helps to meet some of the regulatory pressures that we're seeing now under the new regs. But it also enhances the oil recovery and provides additional revenues to the state. The challenges that we face right now, reading the newspapers and looking at a lot of the stuff on the television, it's pretty frightening what you see happening to the energy industry, and specifically in Wyoming, with 400 million tons of coal produced, a large amount of gas. The headwinds that we're seeing and the impacts on Wyoming under the scenarios are pretty frightening. And I know that people are very worried about that. We're worried about jobs. We're worried about our economy. I know firsthand how hard the governor is working on the issues, as well as our federal delegation, Senator Enzi and Senator Barrasso. And while we are facing these challenges in Wyoming, and we know that that our energy market right now is not looking really good, coal is going to remain in the mix in the U.S. power supply for some time. It may not be at the level that it was. Projects like what we've accomplished with putting the ITC Integrated Test Center at Dry Fork will provide us, hopefully, some opportunities to demonstrate that we can and will be able to quickly commercialize some of these technologies to keep keep the existing coal fleet that we have running for as long as we can, and also to provide some backstop to just the falling off of coal as a baseload resource for the country.
Geraldine, welcome to our telephone town hall meeting. Geraldine, where are you from, and what's your question, please?
Yes, I am just concerned because I am with Powder River Electric and the one there in Gillette, and I live in Rosette. And if there's going to be a hike of $3 if a person, because I use anywhere between maybe $1,200 to $1,400, but I have 20 acres in Rosette. And if it's going to be a hike that much and then a hike next year and another hike by 2017, and as far as I know, senior citizens on fixed income don't get any kinds of discounts through the electric company or anything like that. And I was wondering, what are we going to, how hard is that going to be for us to meet our obligation of our bill? And normally I'm always paying my bill.
All right, let's try and tackle Geraldine's question if we could.
Well, first of all, the structure of the co-op is that it's a member-owned and customer-controlled entity. And the rates that we charge for power are, there's really not a profit in within those rates. And the people that pay the bills, the customers, provide the revenues. So we've designed our rates so that everybody pays their fair share. Although the residential customers, even though they are probably the smallest amount of users from a kilowatt hour perspective, they're the highest number of accounts that we do have, and we understand there are folks that are senior citizens, young families. I mean, the whole gamut of people that have to manage the electric bill. Fortunately, the electric bill is at cost of service. There's not a profit margin within that. And we do help line up folks with some of the programs that may be out there to help offset costs. And you can get help and get information on those by calling our calling into the office. We have we have some efficiency programs where we'll do zero interest loans to help people put in more efficient systems, whether it's light bulbs or other things that they can do to reduce their electric bill. We help with that and provide those loans at zero interest, which helps people to try to be a little bit more efficient with their energy use. The other thing that we have as a co-op is we do retire capital credits, and typically that happens in the December time frame, where we take a look at how much people have paid in over the years into the system, and we will retire capital credits to the tune of almost $2 million every year. And a portion of those capital credits go to our most current members, and a portion of those capital credits go to our oldest members. And those are some of the things that we do to help folks with their power costs.
We had a question come in earlier today. Are there any indications from the state legislature that there will be bills affecting Precorp in terms of regulation or taxation?
Well, it's safe to say for Wyoming that, Wyoming's legislature is very conservative. I know they will be struggling right now with looking at the Consensus Revenue Estimating Group. Just the forecast for revenues of Wyoming are showing Wyoming revenue is going to be declining. I think our legislature will be very keen to see what happens with the Clean Power Plan and how the state responds to that as far as developing and complying with the federal plan. I think our legislature works very hard to to make sure the government of the state is run as efficiently as possible. And I think this year's budget session will be a tough session, but I know that will be looking out for folks in Wyoming.
Let's finish up with Zita and then bring us to the finish line, because we're running past our 30 minutes, if you wouldn't mind, please. Zita's up. Zita, welcome to our telephone town hall meeting. Zita, where are you from, and what's your question, please?
I am from Devil's Tower, and I just wanted to ask, how do the Precorp residential rates compare to those rates outside our service area?
Well, if you take a look at Precorp versus like the national, start off at the big picture, and thanks for the question, Zita. Our average rate is around $93. Compared nationally, the average rate is about $117. So we're definitely under the national average. Statewide, Precorp isn't the lowest in the state, but we are certainly at $92.50. We are under the investor-owned utilities and many of the other co-ops in the state with our rate.
And that brings us to the finish line, sir. So if you wouldn't mind with some final comments, that would be fantastic. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, again, I would like to express my appreciation for allowing me into your home tonight to give you an update. The many things I talked about, you know, there are some good things that are going on. There's definitely reason for hope in what we're doing. Try not to get caught up in a lot of the onslaught of negativity that seems to pervade our news. We do have our challenges. As I mentioned to you folks at our annual meeting, some of those challenges were managing financial risk. We're able to make really good progress on that over the past few months, despite the losses that we experienced. And we are continuing to look out for our members' best interests. The Precorp team works really hard to not only keep the lights on, but to deliver cost savings and revenue enhancements year after year to help us reduce our expenses and to provide power to you folks at the lowest possible cost. Before I go, I'd like to just remind you folks to take a look at Operation Roundup. It's a great way to support the Precorp Foundation and to help out the folks in need in Northeast Wyoming. And my thanks again to you for being part of the call. And this is our last Teletown Hall for the year. And if I don't see you around town or in the community, we'll look forward to having another telephone town hall after the first of the year. And so have a happy Thanksgiving and a great holiday season. And we will be talking to you again right after the first of the year.